When the warehouse workers gather, you know we gon' be lit. Talking about all matters, dropping that knowledge shit. Cause we get it started, heat the best way. Crack it open with the drink of the day. Then we got Nerd Corner Josh spitting facts. All types of nerd stuff, all up in the act. But when it comes to females, you know who hit the scene. Ricardo letting you know how we do his thing. Yeah, cause this ain't just some chit chat. Nah, this the warehouse rat.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 28 of the Warehouse Rats podcast. The pandemic is still happening. Ricardo and I are still separated by a screen. But Ricardo, you look better than ever.
Well, thank you, Josh. I can only say the same thing about you, but you look better. Like the best.
The best.
I almost see that. Did you get a haircut?
Yes, I did. Well, okay. I cut my own hair because the stay-at-home order got extended again.
I know, man. I had to cut my hair this time for the first time in probably like maybe two, three years easily. I can't remember the last time I cut my own hair.
Nice.
And there's a reason why I don't like to cut my own hair, because I can't see the back of my head.
Yep.
I don't see how people do it.
That's why I have my wife come in. I say, hey, did I miss anything? She's like, yeah, you got a little bit here, a little bit there, and I'll just clean it up, and then I'm good.
Yeah, so I did a fairly good job in the back, but then, like, you know that little hair that grows, like, it's kind of like a little tail at the end? It's like, there's two sides, and it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. It's hard to explain, but.
Nah, I think I know what you're talking about.
You know the little at the very end, like
the really fine hairs, like right at the top of your neck or the base of your neck skull. Yeah,
it's like the base of a hairline. Like
yeah,
like that little fine little hairs. Well, somehow I did a good job, but I left like part of it, like so I cut like. From the base down, like almost all the way down, but I didn't quite get to all the way to the bottom. So it's like I got a little patch still there. And shit.
Just like, nice. See, what makes mine so hard to like cut, other than it just being the really fine hair, is that on either side I have two major cowlicks going on. So they already curve in a real weird way. So naturally I should just be able to go like this, but then I'm like playing like a fucking jigsaw puzzle, the back of my head trying to get a cut. So it's the backside takes forever. The top part, you know, it gets easier every time because I keep thinning out up here.
Oh, man. I kind of feel you on that one a little bit.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
No. Real talk. I do see that. My hair, the top of my hair, for some odd reason, maybe it's my own consciousness that it's like kind of fucking with me a little bit, where I think I'm like, damn, am I going bald? And that's just like, it's a really weird feeling where like, it's a very odd paranoia, you know what I mean? Like, not only that, but gray hair. Like, I got a few gray hairs, and I'm just like, ah, no. You know, it's like a fucking, it's like, I'm done. I might as well just give up now.
Well, no, because then you can become a silver fox.
Hey, there you go.
There you go. There you go.
So what's going on with you, man? I haven't seen you in about a week-ish. Last time you ditched me for having lunch tonight. So for the listeners, this is what happened, right? See, what happened was at work they hooked us up with pizza because we're awesome. Or they felt bad. I don't know. Either way.
Both.
Yeah, right. So because we're international distribution, we're awesome. So we're more important than the manufacturing people. So they didn't have to work on a Friday. I think we had to work on a Friday. So
no, this
long
was
story.
Yeah. Anyway.
Long story short. I get there at noon, and the pizza gets there at what, 12:30? Did it get there at 12:30?
Like what's just. No, I'm pretty sure it got there at noon.
Oh, did it really?
Yes.
No, because I made
myself. All right, 12:15, sorry.
Okay, 12:15. Give me like at least 15 minutes. So I get there, and then like they tell me, like, oh, the pizza's there. I'm like, but I just got here. I'm like, well, fuck, you know what? I ain't got shit to do anyway, so I'm going to go take my break. 15 minutes into my shift.
There you go.
But, you know, when you got boss status, well, anyways, I got sidetracked a little bit. So,
yes.
You go get your pizza. I finally get to, you know, indulge in a slice or two. I think I grabbed two slices. I sat down. I was like, hey, buddy, can I sit here? Like, you know, like I was, you know, I was being very polite, just making sure you're not like, you know. Anyways, I eat my first slice. You killed your two slices. And then, like, all of a sudden you get up and you just go. You leave. Like, you leave me like a fucking... I was like, what the fuck? I thought you had gone to the bathroom. That's why, like, you probably had a piece of got to you, like, too quick or something. I don't know.
No.
And I was waiting and waiting and waiting. You never came back.
Right.
So, anyways, I haven't seen you since then. What have you been up to?
Well, as some of the listeners may know, that I was supposed to make the move to my new house today. But that had gotten sidetracked due to the buyer not having some proper paperwork yet, and that prolonged it a good 2 weeks. So this past week, since I've been in good health, I've been starting to pack up my house and getting everything ready to move, just to be told you're going to be in your house for another 2 weeks. And it's like, well, shit. So I honestly, like, today and yesterday, I haven't done much because I was supposed to be loading a moving truck yesterday and then moving today. So I haven't done anything. Mm. So today and yesterday I have been so bored, and I was like, man, I got to do something. So now that I know that I'm not going, well, at least I can't go back to work until next Friday, I got to find something to do this week. Oh man, it's going to kill me.
Now, do you have a, are you the type of person that always has to have something to do? Like, you can't just, like, lie around, like, and watch TV all day?
Normally, no. I think what made this time so different was the fact that I knew that I was supposed to be doing stuff that I really wanted to do. I've been really looking forward to this move for quite a while. So the fact that it got side-railed a day before we were supposed to move... It pissed me off. We found out mid late day Wednesday, and we were supposed to close on the house today.
Oh wow,
dude! You know, I got into some alcohol on Wednesday. I was pissed. Like, I normally don't angry drink. I was angry drinking. I was like, this is garbage. But it just it was a headache and a half.
So, speaking about drinks, what do you have going on today?
I am enjoying Bell's Oberon. It's an American wheat ale. It is fabulous.
Nice. I haven't had one this year, I think. Or have I? I don't remember. Well, I'm having my usual, which is, you know, my Bloody Marys.
Uh-huh. Mexican Bloody Marys.
Yeah, the correction.
So, Bloody Senoritas?
Yeah. But then I also picked up this Summer Shanty.
Oh.
Bam.
Gotcha. Right on, man. Well, hey. Yep, cheers.
Cheers.
For episode
28. Special shout out to... shit. Hold on.
You're right.
Yeah. I was going to say special shout out to our international listeners. Because they're great. They're the best.
The best.
Our Irish family. Much love.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw we have Canadians now, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
They're brethren.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I love about Canadians?
What?
Maple syrup, Canadian bacon, and Moose Tracks ice cream.
I don't think that's inherently Canadian.
Oh, it is.
But we have moose in America.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Where?
I know for a fact they're on Isle Royale National Park.
Where?
Isle Royale National Park.
Where's that at?
It's like 13 miles off the Canadian coast, but still technically in America.
Those are Canadian moose.
They're in America.
Wow.
Anyway.
I guess. Anyway. So what are we going off for Nerd Corner
today? All right, Nerd Corner. So a while back, I started watching a Netflix original series called Umbrella Academy about superheroes. Now, the cool thing is, like, at this point in time, a lot of superhero stuff, especially when it comes to, like, Marvel movies and stuff like that, I've gotten super exhausted by. So when I heard it was this another superhero show, I wasn't terribly excited. But I was like, you know what? It looks to be a little different. I'll watch it. After the first episode, I was hooked. And then the show just got better and better. Every single episode was just one build up onto the other, and it was an amazing show. Season 2 comes out July 31st. I am super stoked because the way that season 1 ended, it was definitely one of those cliffhangers, but at the time there was no guarantee the show was coming back.
Oh, wow.
So it ended, and then there was like, it was like radio silent for quite a while. And so I'm like, dude, if they seriously end this series, just end it and it's done. I'm like, that's some bogus, because I'll go back and rewatch it even if it was just the one. But the fact that it's coming for two, I'm super excited about it. It's super fun. So the people who haven't seen it that do like superhero stuff, but you're getting tired of Marvel, get on Netflix, Umbrella Academy. Really good.
So what's this? What's it about? Like, what's the main, I guess, well, concept? Or talk us through a little bit of without no spoilers.
Right.
What is the main conceptual?
All right. So the series starts out in 1989, where 43 women who were not pregnant that morning ended up giving birth. So, and the way they show this in the show is there's a gal at, I think it was Germany or Russia. She's sitting outside of like a pool, and there's a whole bunch of people in there, and you know, there's this guy, I'm assuming she's got this crush on or whatever. So they kiss, and then she smiles, jumps in the pool, and then when she comes bursting out, she is 9 months pregnant and giving birth. So it was like that instantaneous. And so there's this guy who had gone around to all these individuals and said, I will pay you for your baby. He was able to take 6 out of the 43.
Mm-hmm.
And then he trains them to use their abilities to form the Umbrella Academy. So they're superheroes.
Oh.
But then the academy, you know, either falls apart, everybody kind of goes their own way, and then they call each other brothers and sisters, but they aren't really. They come back together because their father, or the guy who bought them, has passed away. And so they have to go back to their academy in order to go through his will and stuff like that. There's also a talking monkey in it. He's like the coolest character. It's hard to explain because I don't want to say stuff because then it gives stuff away, and it to talk about this, it's really like to talk about it spoiler free, at least for me, is very difficult. So watch it. It's good.
One of the things that I see is it almost kind of sounds very similar to X-Men a little bit,
It definitely had that X-Men kind of a feel, but darker. Like, X-Men definitely shied away from being graphic and heavy in content, at least like X-Men kept the even if the content was heavy, they kept it light, so you were able to experience heavy content without it feeling heavy on you. In Umbrella Academy, they don't shy away from shit getting heavy, and you're like, oh no. So that's one thing I like about it, is they, even though it's all fiction, but they bring it in kind of a real sense, and it makes it super enjoyable. I'm all about this show. So the fact that it's coming out in July, I'm so pumped for.
No, but do they have anybody that's famous on there? Any big names or no?
Ellen Page. Immediately off the bat, she she's actually pretty. You don't know who Ellen Page is? Juno.
Oh, okay.
She played Juno. Yeah. That's Ellen Page. Yeah. She plays a really cool character. Again, I can't say anything because it'll give it away. So she's really cool. But yeah, definitely see it, because it's super enjoyable. But that brings me to my next point. If you could choose, yes, you. Particularly, and our listeners, if they want to share this with us on our Facebook page, that's cool. We're Warehouse Rats on Facebook. But you, Ricardo,
famous plug.
You, Ricardo, if you could choose any superpower, just one, what would you choose for yourself, and why? But here's the thing, though. After you pick what power you want, you have to give me the pros and cons.
Okay.
All right.
Damn, you're making me really good.
And any superpower.
No. Okay, so I would say automatically my creepiest side, as a good friend of ours, White Whiskey, would say, my creepiest side would say being able to see through things. I would say through people. No. But I believe that just being able to read somebody's mind, what they're thinking, kind of like that movie What Women Want,
yeah,
Mel Gibson.
Okay.
I think that I think that'll be not necessarily just women, but everybody as a whole. Like, I think it'd be so cool to be able to read people's minds. I'm just like, or not read, but just hear what they're thinking. One positive I would think is just like being able to be one step ahead of people, you know what I mean? So like if we're in a work setting, just being able to know what people are thinking about me or a particular job, I think that it would be super beneficial. You don't know how many times it would have saved me from like talking with a closed door. Like, what the fuck are you thinking, man? Like, what are you coming at, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or some people that are super like they don't show any emotion, like facial emotions, like they're just super direct, super like blunt about things, and like, sometimes you don't know if they're joking or they're not joking. That's you know, yep. Like excuse me. One of our coworkers, but he's one of the upper people. Actually, two of them that I can think of. Like, sometimes I don't know what he's thinking, if he's joking around, if he's not joking around.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, And one of them that you don't even think that is, like, his name is it rhymes with Perry. Wampus. Perry Wampus.
Oh my god. Okay.
Now, I don't know. You know, honestly, we don't interact with them too much, but it's just like, he's an engineer, so it's like, what is he thinking? Like, sometimes he jokes around with me, but it's just like, or I don't know. It's just one of those, like, I start thinking to myself, and you know, I'm like, are you just fucking with me right now, or are you actually being serious?
Right.
Now, like I said, that's a positive.
Yeah.
A negative would be, you would have to have a tough skin, because obviously you're gonna know what people are thinking about you, like, a lot. You know, like, if you smell bad, if you look bad, if you, like, if I started speaking about, like, for example, like right now, I can see your mouth, like, kind of doing these movements where I think you're like, oh, he's full of shit, you know what I mean? But if I was to know exactly what you're thinking, that would kind of, you have to have a tough skin, you know?
Yeah.
And just, I guess, just the ability not to be able to turn it off either. Like, turn it off, turn it on. Like, sometimes you're just like, I'm tired of hearing what people are saying, you know?
Right. So now, well, here's the thing is, what if you didn't have the ability to turn it on and off? What if it was just always on? Could you then almost, I think you would almost have to learn how to ignore it to a certain point. Because if you didn't, you'd be like constantly like focusing on like everything else other than like what's actually happening.
So I'll give you a good example as to, or at least in my eyes, I don't think it would matter too much, because growing up, I used to live right next to a railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, like, I can probably less than 100 feet away.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there was an actual railroad that was right next to our house. And a lot of family that would stay over, like, from a lot of family that would come over from Chicago, or, you know, mostly people that came from Chicago that mm-hmm. you know, wasn't used to, even though they're used to the whole busy, you know, like life in Chicago, you know, that inner city, not say inner city, but that suburban life that's super busy.
Right.
They would be like, man, I don't know how you guys do it here. Like, I don't see how you guys can sleep like at night. You know, nice. it would keep me up, because it did pass like quite often. Like, it would probably pass, like, I don't know the exact timing, but probably at least once every 4 hours or 5 hours. So it was very. And the kind of thing that sucked, though, is, like, so our house was, like, right next to it, but almost, like, probably, I'd say, like, a quarter mile away was a crossing right away. So there was a crossing right, almost right in front of our house, too, so they got to blow their fucking horn.
Oh, like a lot, you know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh, so, like, geez. They had to blow their horn.
Damn.
So I guess where I was going with this is the fact that you do get used to things like that, you know. It's right. Kind of weird, because there was a lot of times where I wouldn't even fucking even realize, like, has a train been passing by? Like, cause I haven't even really noticed it, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Now when I remember when we first moved in, it would wake you up in the middle of the night. Like, it was just like, what the fuck? You know, you would wake up and you're like, feel like you're having an earthquake and shit. But, you know, then you figure out it was a fucking train. But no, it's something to get used to, I think.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. See, like, especially like being able to read minds, it almost seems like a two-edged sword thing. Like, it would be cool, but at the same time, having the ability to know what people are thinking, especially if they're like thinking some like pretty bad shit towards like me, like, mm-hmm. you know, that would kind of mess me up a little bit. And it's just like, it's one of those things where I don't think I could deal with it, just because it would, I think it'd probably just piss me off to the point where I just start beating people up and it's like, like, why are you doing this? He thought something about me. You know, it's, I mean, it, that would definitely be a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So what would be one of your, what would be your, power that you would choose?
I would want to, do a telekinesis, like being able to move things with your mind.
Mm.
I think that'd be cool.
I guess that doesn't surprise me. I mean, Darth Vader kind of did.
Yeah, the Force.
You know, the Force. So for it's sure.
Like it. But see, the cool thing is, like, you always see certain abilities used by good guys or bad guys. But the cool thing is, like, telekinesis goes both sides. You see good guys and bad guys use it, where, you know, but then you see good guys use it for bad reasons, and you see bad guys use it for good reasons, but then you see people like me who would probably use it to, like, you know, pull my wife's, you know, shirt up real quick. I'm like, hey, you know, stuff like that. You know, so I mean, it's one of those things where I can see where it'd be beneficial,
mm-hmm.
you know, to as a superhero, but at the same time, knowing me, I don't think I'd go villain. I definitely wouldn't be a hero, though. I'd be messing with too much shit.
That's hilarious. What would you say would be a big con, I guess, or cons in general?
I think getting to the point where knowing you could So then that potentially taking you to like over that step of being the bad guy, you know, like say you're like, depending on how you could move stuff with your mind, say you're watching the lottery balls come out of the little vacuum thing.
Oh.
You could change it to be numbers that you were going to pick.
Oh,
you know, so I mean, so you, it could definitely be used in ways that, that are questionable, ethically and morally. Right. But if you're a villain, it doesn't matter. You do whatever the hell you want. But, you know, me, anytime I, you know, play a video game or anything like that, more times than not, I'm a good guy. Or I always play as a good guy. So it's one of those things. I think the temptation to be able to do that kind of stuff would be overwhelming at times. Mm-hmm. To where, like, even, you know, if I wanted to steal something out of the store, I could just use my powers to have it float over by the door and meet me by the door so they don't think I actually took it on me, you know?
No, this is what I would do, right? What I would do is, like, I would knock something over from, like, the, you know how, like, most liquor stores, well, I'm thinking of, like, a liquor store. You know how most liquor stores have, like, the wall of, like, a whole bunch of liquors and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, alcohol?
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would knock over something that's, like, something I don't care for. Like, I don't know, like, a bottle of tequila or something. And then, like, start, you know, just put something in my pocket or something. I don't know.
Well, like,
I kind of distract them with the force.
Yeah. Well, I mean, use that to knock over some bottom shelf stuff while you, you know, use your power to make top shelf stuff come down to you, and then you hide it out. So, I mean, and the cool thing is, by using this ability, you could shut off their security cameras.
Hey, well, you don't have to shut them off. You just have to have something that floats like right above them, like yeah, right
make,
in front of them.
Make one thing cover it, and then you take it to steal liquor.
Yeah.
Dude, we'd be terrible superheroes.
That's hilarious.
Oh, shit.
Well, they got the mind going, though. I'll tell you that much. Yeah, I like that. So, let me ask you this, Josh. Step over here real quick.
Oh yeah.
And I don't want. So, just this is just a little warning.
Oh.
Things might get a little serious, but I just want people to know that I love everybody equally. And I don't mean anything, any harm. So. For anybody that's listening, don't send me death threats.
Okay. Because that's always worked for other people in the past.
Right. So let me ask you this. With the topics or the things that are going on in this world right now, mm-hmm. Especially in the U.S., mm-hmm. more than anything in the U.S. right now, let me ask you what are your feelings on this this whole killing of this African-American guy,
the stuff in Minnesota.
Yeah. Now, first of all, I want you to dive into like what your feelings on what the cop did, and mm-hmm. then I want you to dive into the whole, you know, the whole things that are the last few days where mm-hmm. there's a lot of rioting and, you know, this and that. So
okay.
Uh-oh.
What? funny enough, my wife and I actually got talking about this quite a bit today. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, when
the shanty taste is really good.
anytime anybody loses their life, to lesser individuals. Mm-hmm. is a tragedy, whether you're, doesn't matter what color skin you are, anytime anybody loses their life, that's a tragedy. The fact that it was an African-American that lost his life to somebody who is meant to protect and serve their community, mm-hmm. makes it that much worse. It's one of those things where cops have been getting a bad rep anyways. This definitely did not help in any way at all. So, like immediately, the cops should have known what he was doing. He should have been stopped. The fact that there were other police officers there and they didn't stop him, kind of makes them accessories. Because last I knew, he was at least arrested, and I'm pretty sure they're going to charge him with murder.
Yeah.
And here's the thing: the cops who didn't stop him from doing that potentially need to be having at least civil charges of being an accessory, hands down, because they could have at any point said, "Okay, you need to get off of him." Because some of the stuff I've been reading, they say that the tactic he was using is when I'm trying to remember how they worded it, when deathly force is necessary.
Right.
And a number of people in the situation said that at that time, especially seeing how he was sitting after a minute, that was in no way necessary. And it cost somebody their life. And right. The fact that there were other officers there who had that same knowledge and did nothing, that's a problem.
You know what gets me is the fact that I've seen so many videos where cops are going out of line, like, you know, get out of line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, to me, it seems like there's never a video where they actually show, like, a cop to saying, like, "Hey, bro, like, you know, like, back off. Like, can you just take it easy on them?" Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost to a point where, and this besides, you know, this is the putting the race aside. Even like, cops who deal with white people or any other race, like, sometimes they get out of line so much, and there's other cops around that I would think that as a human person, you'd be like, "Bro, like, maybe we don't need fucking 10 people on this person." You know what I mean? Like, especially if they already have them handcuffed or they go. I mean, if you got two or three people on there, like, do you really need that many more people on top of a certain person? Not this one in particular, but other situations where I've seen them on video and shit. I'm just like, cops should be more aware of, like, you know what, like, and it's understandable to me where sometimes the adrenaline kicks in and you're like, because you are in a life and death situation, like, a lot of times. So it's definitely understandable to that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But as a person that's, you know, looking outside in, like, let's just say those cops that were surrounding them, like, yeah, your adrenaline is kicked in too, because you're kind of like the one guy that I've seen that he was like kind of like looking around, just making sure nobody kind of jumped in and did anything.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that's kind of part of your job, but at the same time, you should be aware, like, "Hey, bro, like, you don't you see what he's doing to the man?" You know what I mean? Yep. So,
yeah, it kind of comes back to, it seems like there needed to be more situation awareness.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to realize that this guy was on the ground. He had quite obviously said he couldn't breathe. Now if the way they were holding him down, like, or the guy was holding him down, you know, with the knee to the neck, if that technically was necessary in the beginning, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you maintain a hold like that and then the guy loses consciousness and you continue to hold that, and the fact that nobody said anything.
Right.
Nobody told the officer, "Hey, you should probably stop. The guy's unconscious. You should probably get off him." It But at the same time, I have a hard time feeling like I have an opinion that matters. Because I am what I've been told, white male, so I have white privilege. so, like, I have a hard time. I have a hard time voicing my opinions when it comes to racial things, because I have actually been told to my face, "Well, you have white privilege," and it's like, that may be true, but I still have an opinion. I'm still entitled to my opinion. No, I should still have the right to say it, and then have the response to me be, "Well, you just have white privilege." It's like, oh, okay. So basically what I think is irrelevant. Okay, that's right. Nice.
No, I think if anything, coming from a white person, I think it's even more I would say more respectable in this situation, just because if a person that is not in that situation, for example, like myself, my opinion is probably is worth less, just because I might be a little bit more biased in a sense, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that coming from a white person, I think is that has a little bit less bias, where you know that that's not going to happen, or it doesn't happen as frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I kind of did hear before that more white people are the ones that are getting shot by cops and killed by cops.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only reason, I think I can't remember exactly. Somebody actually put that perspective in my mind. They said that ironically, it's not that, it's not that black people are getting shot more. It's just the fact that I can't remember why. I really can't remember. And he did it. He made a pretty good point though, but I can't remember exactly why.
Well then let me ask you a quick question then.
Okay.
Do you think the situation, if it happened exactly the same, would had escalated to the point that it is now if it was a black cop and a white individual?
I think that, so honestly, I think my opinion on this is that sometimes black cops can be a little bit rougher, I think. I mean, this is, and you know, let me just put this out there, is the fact that I have never had any bad interaction with police officers. Like,
mm-hmm.
every cop that has pulled me over or anything like that, like I've been treated with a lot of respect, and mm-hmm. and just I mean, it was kind of weird, because a lot of the time that I've been pulled over is for over some stupid shit that I, you know, it was definitely nothing that I, you know, but anyways, I think that a lot of the black cops are unfortunately have that power that I don't know, I guess there might be a little bit over, their egos are over big or something. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain.
Overinflated.
Yeah, overinflated, where they feel that because they feel that power, just and then they're black, I don't know, they're just trying to prove something, I guess. Mm. So, and I'm not saying that that's the case for all black people,
right,
or all black cops. But I think in this situation, I think some, you know, it could have happened just the same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, who's to say it doesn't happen on a daily basis?
Right. Right. And it,
because I have seen, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're
not. Now I think about it, I have seen videos where they go into the hood, and there's a lot of black cops, and they go in there, and they're kind of, more or less, they're kind of harassing a lot of the individuals that live around there, and just kind of like, they're going in there and just kind of like patting people down and shit, like asking questions, blah blah, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just, yeah. So a lot, some of these people are just out there, just, you know, I mean, they're in the hood, so it's kind of like you're just out there fucking, like, you might even be drinking or whatever, but they're mm-hmm. not doing anything that's crazy illegal, you know what I mean?
Right.
But a lot of these are black cops, and then like they get a lot of, unfortunately they get a lot of, they're probably even hated more. I would think that black cops are hated even more by the black community
mm-hmm.
than your average white cop.
I could see that, because then, depending on what the mentality is of that particular neighborhood, if you see an African American officer come in and it's an African American community, depending on, again, the mentality, you could be like, oh well, you know, it's a traitor or whatever. Whereas, you know, you see a white cop, they're like, oh well, that makes sense, you know.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
But at the same time, if that is, because I'm definitely trying to make sure that I definitely stay PC with this. But it's, if that's the mentality, why is that the mentality? Why is it that when somebody wants to serve their community in what can be a very potentially positive manner, why is that seen as a betrayal? That's something I've never understood.
I think it really goes back to the origin, not I would say the origins, but oh, I guess you could say part of history. I would say that with there being legal segregation back then, there legal discrimination in a sense. I mean, cops. I mean, I'm only assuming because obviously I wasn't part of the era, but just based on what I've seen off of movies and stuff, and documentaries. I mean, cops are as dirty as any other people. You know what I'm saying? Like they're the ones that you have to look out for the most because. Right. You know, your average Joe, like, yeah, you can see that they're racist, but you can get away from them, but you can't really get away from a cop. So like by Africans becoming cops, it just kind of sounds like, bro, are you too good to, not too good, but are you trying to be, do you think that you're better than us just because you're a cop now? You know, it's a weird thing because you grow up. I wouldn't say hating cops, but just being very paranoid around cops. Even myself, I'm super paranoid around cops.
Oh, so am I. Like,
you know what I mean?
Like, if I'm driving home and I'm following all the traffic laws and all that stuff and everything's fine, if a cop passed me, I automatically assume he's going to turn around and pull me over.
Right.
For one reason or another, I don't know, but I always assume they're going to turn around and pull me over. So... Even I'm, but see, the biggest difference is how you handle that situation. If you get pulled over and you know you've done nothing wrong and you have nothing to hide,
right?
Why fight being cooperative? You can, like the people who are like, well, am I being detained or am I being charged with a crime? It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. If he asks you for your ID and your insurance, you're getting pulled over. Just give it to him. If you have nothing to hide and you've done nothing wrong, there won't be a problem. I mean, simple as that.
I do understand that aspect, I guess, that because I obviously when I growing up, like, I knew myself, you know, my thing is like, yes, sir, no, sir. You know, like if I get pulled over, you're going to use sir a lot. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's what cops want to hear. I think at least that's what I was taught to, you know, like not just by my parents or anything like that. It's just kind of like one of those naturally instinctual things to do. But my thing is, I'll pose this question. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people are fighting for is, the fact that a lot of people are doing that, you know, what if you are, what if I am getting pulled over saying yes, sir, no, sir, getting pulled out of the car because now I look suspicious because, and not anything crazy, but I'm just getting pulled out because I'm fitting the profile of a suspicious person.
Right.
Not doing anything suspicious because you got a dirty cop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's where a lot of the fight is. That's where a lot of the backlash is because a lot of people do say like, well, stop, you know, kind of saying the stop resisting type of shit. But the thing is, we don't know. And it could be, you know, it could work either way, but we don't know how it all started, you know, whether it was a legitimate, I guess, concern of the cops where they had they had the right to ask like, hey, you look suspicious or can I search your car, blah blah blah.
Right.
But on the other side too is like as a person, I know sometimes in the past for myself is whenever speak up as far as like I feel something's being unfair, they look at me as threatening, I'm being a threatened person. You know what I'm saying? Like become threatening in a sense, you know what I mean? I'm being disgruntled.
Right.
And when you become disgruntled as a minority, and especially if you're bigger, it's not a good thing. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, then again, that kind of comes back to the whole how the individual handles law enforcement.
Right.
Now, I'll share an experience that I had. It was right before or soon before I graduated high school. A buddy of mine was staying over, and we're like, hey, we're going to run up to the corner store and, you know, grab some food and shit like that. So we hop in his truck, and we start driving. Earlier that day, we had gone to a local skate park, which at the time was the only skate park, was also known for high drug activity.
Right.
And while we were there, a cop, you know, pulled in, parked in the parking lot and sat there for a while and then left before we did. And then when we left our house, the same cop pulled us over, saying that, hey, your taillight's out. And we're like, okay. So my buddy gives him his license and whatever. And so the guy comes back. He says, hey, your insurance is expired. You're going to have to get out of the car. So my buddy gets out of the car. He talks to him for a minute. He ends up putting, you know, my buddy puts his hands on his head. Cop pats him down. And then he's like, okay, I need you to go stand by my car with my partner. So my buddy goes back there. So he comes over to my door. He's like, hey, I'm going to open your door. I'm going to ask you to get out. I'm like, okay. And so he gets out. He's like, okay. He's like, you're not under arrest. You're not being, you know, nothing. Like, I'm not going to do anything to you. He's like, but I'm going to search you. So I'm like, okay. So I put my hands on my head. He pats me down. I had a flash drive in my pocket. So he felt that. And, like, I could tell that he was, like, tense, like, immediately. He's like, what's that? I'm like, it's a USB drive. And he's like, what's that? So I, like, I'm in my head, I'm laughing hysterically. I'm like, it's a fancy memory card. I was like, you can take it out, dude. I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, there's nothing in there other than that. I mean, you know, so, you know, he took it out, looked at it, and he gave it back to me. He's like, okay, we're going to search your friend's car. I need you to go stand by my partner. So we go back and stand with his partner, and, you know, me and my buddy, you know, again, we got nothing to hide. We didn't have a problem. Granted, in retrospect, the whole thing was a little shady. So, I mean, you know, chances are if we wanted to fight something, we probably could have. But at the same time, we did nothing wrong.
Right.
We had nothing to hide. So we complied with their requests.
Right.
And then everybody went on their day. And even when we were standing back with the partner, he's like, listen, he's like, the fact that you guys have been as cooperative as you are, there isn't a problem. Right. He's like, as soon as he's done, you guys can go about your business. We're like, fuck, all right. And, and sure enough, that's what happened. And the guy said, here, he's like, it's not a ticket. He's like, but this is a, it's like a warning thing. He's like, get your taillight fixed because it's, you know, it's out. And he's like, okay. So, and then we went on our business.
Yes, it's definitely one of those things that I do definitely understand where the cops do have a job to do. And that type of stuff does happen on a daily basis, even to white people and even to black people. And I do understand also that sometimes I won't try to be as PC as possible with the statement is that sometimes African Americans do, and even Mexicans. I'm gonna put my people out there too, because we're in the same boat here, my fellow black people. We do tend to take out the race card at times a little too quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's both a it's almost a unconscious type of way of doing something, just because you're taught as early, like you're always kind of thinking like, hey, is this person like not liking me because I'm, you know, black, I'm Mexican, blah blah. You know what I'm saying? Or is this person treating me unfairly because I'm black, I'm Mexican? So I automatically, when you're getting, and let's just say that you were black, like automatically you and your friend are black, automatically you're gonna start thinking like, hey, is this happening because we're black? And and I think it's sometimes we do as a minorities, we do come to a we tend to jump to conclusion a little bit too quick. But like I said, that the thing that I have a hard time is the fact that we don't know for sure if those people that have you know, unfortunately, you know, gotten killed by police officers, if they have did all the right things just like you do, you know, like just like you did, for example. Like let's just say that everything was good, and then somehow they started harassing you guys a little bit even more, and then you started kind of defending yourself, and then that's when things escalated to the point where one of you might have been on the ground, you know, on the same situation. You know what I mean?
Well, even in that moment of getting searched, in my head, I'm thinking to myself, it's like, how did we get here?
Right.
Like, it's not like we were speeding. It's not like they had been trying to pull us over for, like, you know, 20 minutes or anything like that. We had literally been in the car for at most 100 yards.
Oh, wow.
Like, because he parked out in front of my parents' house. We got in his truck, drove 100 yards to, like, he actually pulled us right in, pulled us over in front of my grandparents' house.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm just thinking, I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus, please don't let my poor old grandparents not look out and see me getting searched. But, that's like, hilarious. But even so, it was, like, again, me being white with my privilege and all, it was scary because I didn't understand why it was happening because we didn't do anything wrong. You know, it's not like, you know, we ran through a stop sign or anything like that. We were simply going to get junk food. That's all we were doing.
No, I guess in putting in a different type of view, I guess. How many times does this happen to your average, you know, African American, but things don't, where things might take a different, you know, turn. You know what I mean?
Oh, I imagine it happens a lot more than anybody would like to admit. Which, again, which is awful. There is, there is no situation where anybody who gets pulled over because of an assumption based on how they look, that they've done something wrong. That is the worst. And I think that kind of thing can go beyond skin color. But, you know, statistics would say that it happens more to, you know, people of, you know, as we like to say, pigmentations.
Just pigmentation.
But I mean...
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, you said a lot of times that, you know, something about white privilege, that you had white privilege. Now, I don't know if you're saying it in a truthful matter or a sarcastic way. How do you feel about white privilege? Now, let me read you a little quote, okay? I was looking it up, and one of my Facebook friends actually kind of posted this. It was really weird that she posted this. Because she's a blonde hair, blue eyed person, beautiful girl, and so like I said, I never really knew this about her, but it's almost like she has such a great heart, and I was like, holy shit, I never knew this about you. You know what I mean? Like she grew up in a smaller town or a bigger town than what I did, but it was a very wealthy place. I mean, it was a really wealthy place. Like Anyway, so she posted this. It says, "Let me read this kind of." Word for word, kind of verbatim, whatever I can read, because I'm a little drunk now. And tell me what your thoughts are.
Okay.
It says, "White privilege isn't. Your life is easy because you're white. White privilege is, your life is made harder because of your white skin, or isn't? My bad. Let me read that again.
White. I thought privilege, you said you could read good.
I know. I'm a little drunk already. Okay, it says white privilege isn't your life is easy because you're white. White privilege is your life isn't made harder because you're white because of your white skin.
Okay.
No one is saying your life is easy and you don't have troubles, but unlike people of color, those troubles are because of your whiteness. Now you want me to read it again because I know I didn't make any sense to myself, to be honest.
No, I got it.
Okay. But I'm going to read it again.
Okay.
Okay. It says, white privilege isn't your, quote, your life is easy because you're white, end of quote. White privilege is, quote, your life isn't made harder because of your white skin, end of quote. No one is saying your life is easy and you don't have troubles. But unlike people of color, those troubles aren't because of your whiteness. That's a mouthful, bro. This made a lot more sense when I was sober, to be honest. So what are your thoughts on that?
the ideals and philosophies behind that, I feel are accurate and true, but are not, they are not followed to that standard. Mm-hmm. It, at least the experiences that I have had and right. the things that have been said to me, very much have led me to feel, not believe because I don't believe it, but it has led me to feel that because I am white and what white people have done to people of color or other ethnicities make me a terrible person. Mm. And I am always in the wrong because of the things that have been done. And
the white privilege.
Hmm?
I was gonna say that white guilt. You got that white guilt.
No, I don't. But I am forced to feel white. That white guilt. Yeah. And here's the thing, you know, what people did a few hundred years ago, or even 100 years ago, whatever. Yes, it is awful. It is terrible. Would mm-hmm. I have made that same decision? Absolutely not. However, right. I can't change what they did. But mm-hmm. I am not at fault what they did. So putting me in the same boat as those folks, that's where I start to have a problem.
Right.
And it's like they – just like how some white people say all black people are the same or all this ethnicity is the same. They all act this way. They all do that. They all do this. Same thing happens with white people. This ethnicity say, well, all white people are the same. So apparently we're all racists. We're all terrible. We're all Nazis and all bullshit like that. That isn't the case. Just like whatever ethnicity, each person is different. Each person mm-hmm. is responsible for their own actions, their own behaviors, and how they will go through life, just like myself.
Right.
Just because the white person next to me just so happens to have a swastika tattooed on his chest and going crazy doesn't mean that I'm the same way. Just because mm-hmm. our skin color is the same and he has these ideals and beliefs that are completely out of the fucking field doesn't mean I'm the same way.
Right.
But
right.
I feel like I'm forced into that because of my skin. But of course, right now, when I'm saying, people are like, well, you can only say that because you're white. And it's just like, I can't win. So it's like, you know what? I'm just going to say it, let it be, and then move on.
So Josh, I honestly think that you would be the type of individual that would be would have a house in the boondocks of Alabama, and you would definitely be a place for runaway slaves to come and have a piece of bread and a piece of bacon, okay? If that makes you feel any better.
I don't know why I live in Alabama. Alabama's the worst.
that's the first one I came to mind. No, but I think okay. I honestly do. I feel that white privilege does exist to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Because the only reason I say that to a certain degree is because I do feel that obviously white people do get, I mean, just because the simple fact that there is more views in the U.S., I think that there's a lot, don't laugh.
Sorry.
There's a little bit of a, I won't say bond, but there's definitely something that, like, you don't see each other differently, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you see, like, Northerners, you compare them to Southern people and say, like, hey, yeah, blah, blah. You know, these Southern people, they're a bunch of rednecks. No offense, people.
Oh.
No offense.
I thought we were saying PC. Redneck is not PC.
Okay.
It's Southern right. fancy.
And vice versa, when you talk about Northerners, you talk about, like, you know, a bunch of, I don't know, freaking liberals and, you know, a bunch of hippies and... Anyways.
Right.
But... The thing that I have the most I have, it's kind of a weird thing because I do see both sides. Being, again, being Mexican is a really weird thing because you do see both sides, right? So you do see, you're not black, but you're not white. You know what I'm saying? You're like, kind of like half and half. Not heavy whipping cream, but half and half.
Whipping cream. Okay.
So I do see the black side or the minority side, right? Because me as a minority, we do have a little bit harder just because we've always had that almost systematic oppression. They talk about systematic oppression. When they talk about systematic oppression is like, you know, not being able to get the better jobs because your name is Taekwon Johnson.
Whoa. Or specific.
I know. Or Jose Ramirez or whatever. So automatically you get that stigma, right? You know, your name automatically gives you that stigma. So when you go for a job, or when you send your resume, and like people are going automatically, like, especially if they're racist. I mean, they say you cannot discriminate, but honestly, who's going to know that I'm discriminating? You know what I mean?
Right.
Cause I've seen a lot of different managers say like, hey, well, this is the right person. This is the best candidate, no matter what. Mm. But at the end of the day, like I look at it like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the 110 rule when it comes to hiring? I worked at an establishment, and I had gotten fairly close to a lot of the managers, and they had told me about this 110 rule that they would follow. They would go into interview and stuff like that. They would interview the person, and if at any point they realized that they were not going to want to see this person again, they would write 110 on their application.
Okay.
And wow. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, so just, you know, identifies what it is. And she's like, yeah, but it's a little more a little more rude than that. I'm like, what does that mean? So she wrote 110 out on a piece of paper. And so if you look at 110 as you look at it, connect the top of the first one to the bottom of the second one, it goes from being 110 to the word no.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
And there was a couple of times where I was talking to the managers and they said, we wrote a 110 before we even sat down. I was like, really? Whoa. And wow. It's one of those things where like, and this particular manager seemed old school, if you could say. And some of her decisions on who to hire and who not to hire was definitely, I feel, skewed in some circumstances, which I was just like, that's not cool. And then like it got to be a point where like this whole 110 thing like was like who could get the most 110s in like a month.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, so you're basically purposely screwing people out of a job just to win some inner office thing. It's like, that's fucked up.
That's crazy. But yeah, going back to what I was saying is the systematic discrimination, systematic racism. They also say that, you know, the way that lending was available back in the day, lending was, you know, one of the reasons that communities, in, you know, in general, were booming was because of the lending was available to small businesses to, you know, start up, or even individuals to start up new businesses. Well, the way they did it back then, I don't know the exact details, but one of the things that they kind of put in their clauses or whatever, and almost systematically, is that they would make it harder to where they would go into a primarily or predominantly black neighborhood and offer a lot less, you know, business loans to people just so that way they can keep them oppressed. And like I said, I don't know the exact details, and there might be, you know, those sources as far as like the facts behind it. I don't know for sure, but I've heard from different people that's kind of where they were at, you know, as far as the lending goes. So that in itself is just like kind of really shady because you can't progress, you know what I'm saying? So not only do you, when you talk about when you talk about black people in general, as far as like their actual history goes, you know, they first of all they came here, you know, on slaves, you know, being on becoming slaves. Mm-hmm. Now for a long time they were for generations they were slaves, so they had that slave mentality. And then when they were freed, they weren't really freed per se. Mm-hmm. They were legally freed, but yeah, not in the sense where they were able to do whatever they want. And that not only that, but they it transferred through generation after generation. Mm-hmm. Where the ideology, your mental status, mm-hmm, was as a slave, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, like one of the things that always fascinates me, and one of the things they don't really teach in history, especially like, you know, high school and stuff like that, right, is even though the North fought to abolish slavery, the North was like just as bad with their racism, right, as the South. And it's like, yep. It's one of those things that just kind of blows my mind. It's like, okay, so then were you only fighting to abolish it because you were told to, because you're a soldier and you have to? Right.
I remember a little bit as far as like actually listening to, not listening, but reading, the way that actually happened was, now mind you, I'm not a fucking historian here, so anybody who comes at me, we're going to have some shit to say, okay?
We'll send them to Y Whiskey.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He'll hit you up with your history.
So the little that I remember, to one of my classes at Western was the North and the South fought, you know, this horrific civil war. And after the civil war, actually, came the Emancipation Proclamation, and then one of the presidents, this is even after Abraham Lincoln, I think one of them was, ironically, he was actually a Republican, which is a little weird too. He was the one that was trying to better the African American communities. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly why he was trying to do that, but it wasn't any good reason for them. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't any good reason for the African American community. It was more of a political thing, and it was more of a, you know, kind of like, it was almost a kind of sorry this happened. You know, this whole slavery thing happened, and this is I'm trying to say I'm sorry. And then like what ended up happening is like after so much, like, they called it the New Deal, right? So the New Deal was like they were trying to get these communities of African Americans and trying to establish a whole bunch of freaking like laws and things to make the African communities thrive, I guess, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Now in theory that was great, but the problem is like they were spending so much money that the Republican Party, in a sense, started to be like, you know what? I think it was Johnson, like, hey, Johnson, like, you're doing all this and shit, but we're done with these people now. Let's focus on something else. And then he was still trying to do something with them. And then, as far as I remember, is like they actually, I think he was like the very first president that they what happened to Trump? He got impeached.
Impeached?
Yep. He was like the very first president that got impeached because of that in particular. Right. I think. I could be wrong. But that's just all, you know, like I said before, all my facts are opinion based, so you know. So yeah, it's kind of weird. But like I was saying, this whole systematic oppression, I guess, and not necessarily like saying like, hey, you're free now, you're you're able to do whatever you want. No. Yes and no. Mm-hmm. Like I said, and unfortunately throughout history, black people have always had that. They started off already like in a really shitty place. Mm-hmm. Now when white privilege people, or when you talk about white privilege, is the fact that they didn't start at the same place that most African Americans have started, you know what I mean?
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yes. Yeah, it... And as easy as a solution to racism, it sounds dumb, but here's the thing. It's no
just say it, man.
I can't say it, but skin color doesn't matter. That's it. It genuinely, it, okay, for me, that's what it comes down to. Skin color doesn't matter. I'm going to judge you by your personality and right. your personal choices and the way that you treat people around you way before I say anything about your skin color. Because right. honestly, your skin color, it's a little anecdote later on. And again, people are like, well, you right. shouldn't ignore people's ethnicity. It's like, I'm not ignoring your ethnicity, but I'm not going to judge you on it.
Right.
I want to, if I'm going to judge you, I'm going to judge you on what you do and how you are and how you act and how you treat people. You know, if you treat people terribly and you just so happen to be black, guess what? My judgment on you isn't going to affect my judgment on the next black person I meet or interact with. You know, that's not yeah. how it works. So the fact that people automatically put an entire ethnicity into one box just because of their skin color is the problem. And it's like, okay. Right. Yeah. And I don't know. It just,
it's a very tough thing. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Like I said, I guess one of the points that I was trying to say as well, even though I do see the systematic oppression and everything else, I also see the other effect where if you have a black president, as we did, come up from being a nobody, and I'm not saying that he was a nobody, but he was definitely like your average person, to becoming one of the best loved presidents. I mean, that just goes to say that that's good. That just goes to show that your skin color is only, you know, it's really irrelevant at times. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that there is not some type of racism. Obviously, there is racism throughout your progression in life. Whether it's in a certain company, certain banks, certain political parties, obviously being a Republican, a black Republican is kind of a weird thing.
It's an oxymoron.
Yeah, it's an oxymoron. But I've seen it before, and it's kind of a really, even for me, it's really weird to see, like, even a Hispanic Republican. To me, that's like saying, I wouldn't say quite. Almost saying that's the same. I wouldn't say it's as hard as saying that there is such a thing as a Jewish Nazi, but it goes almost.
But see, here's the thing: not all Republicans are racist.
That is true.
It's the experiences that you've had with certain individuals who just so happen to be Republican. Right. Now,
yeah.
But you see that even comes back to, even though that's not a skin color and ethnicity, that right. still comes back to a key factor about an individual that everybody attaches a certain stigma to based on that fact. So everybody thinks Republicans are racists. That isn't the case.
No, that's true.
Just like how everybody thinks, or okay, let me rephrase. how parts of society the bad parts of society have decided that all African Americans are criminals or bullshit like that. Okay. That's the same thing. Because of particular individuals.
Right.
It's the assumption that everybody like that is the same. And that goes for political parties as well.
Kind of. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, but let me throw a little wrench at you though.
Okay.
Because the only reason I say this is because, like, I understand that there are, and I don't get me wrong, I meet plenty of Republicans that I know that are not racist per se, or are not fully racist, but they are definitely have very racist ideology. A lot of conservative movement is very white driven. Even let's say even if it's not, even let's just say even if it's meant to be a very inclusive party, where let's just say we invite everybody, the rhetoric that is portrayed in not only just not just the media, but just even the people that I meet themselves, is like they have this rhetoric that's so like so like white is in and nothing's out. You know what I mean? Like nothing's, I don't know. It's just, and my thing is like if you're kind of going back to a lot of things that I said before, is like if you want to call yourself a Republican, you know, you have the right to do that, right? If you want to call yourself a racist, you have the right to do that too. If you hold on, I'm getting to the point. I'm getting to the point.
Right.
If you want to call whatever you want to call yourself, you want whatever you want, whatever name you want to put yourself on, you have the total right to do that. However, you have to be aware of the consequences that come with that title as well. You know what I mean? Knowing if you know that Republicans in general, not saying that all of them, in general, most Republicans are considered to be more racist or more white friendly,
White friendly.
then that's a consequence that you should, you know, you should be that should you should accept. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But even so, it comes back to the just because some people who just so happen to be louder than others, who are either of a particular ethnicity or a particular political party or what have you, just because they're louder doesn't mean they have to ruin it for everybody else. And I think that's something that's easily ignored because the fact that one person who happens to be whatever has spoken just loud enough to where people are like, oh, that person's a racist. That person's this. That person's that. So everybody like that, in whatever way they can make their connection, has to be the same way.
But I understand what you're saying, but I think that the major difference between a political party and a certain race is the fact that you can change your political party, but you can't change your race. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're Michael Jackson.
Oh, too soon, too
Too
soon.
soon.
No, but see, here's the thing though. I've met individuals who would disagree with that. They would say once you've decided what political party you're on, that is the political party you have to stay at. They
Wow,
are
really?
super hardcore into the once you've chosen, that's it. You don't get to choose anything
That's
else.
crazy. I guess that's the biggest difference between you. Would you say, or would you agree or disagree, that that's one of the major differences between a Democrat and a Republican? Would be because Republicans, I see they tend to be super. Super, I want to say, fuck it, I'm gonna say they're super close-minded, right? So like, I'm gonna go in along the lines of this, and you cannot shift me over to the left or to the right. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, if I'm already a moderate Republican, you cannot switch me to either left or right. When Democrats, you tend to be, the way my perspective is, like, when you're a Democrat, you're more of a liberal, you're more of a almost independent type, where you're like, I can see both sides, but I lean towards more the Democratic side or the Democrat side. But don't take me too far left either, where I'm like a fucking socialist. You know what I'm saying? Like it's kind of a weird, you know. Would you say that's a fair assumption?
I personally despise politics. The whole choosing Republican, Democrat, liberal, whatever have you, honestly, is one thing as an adult that I can't stand.
Right.
As a society or whatever. And people ask me, well, do you vote Republican or Democrat? It's like, I vote on the individual. When I get to a ballot and I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, this guy I agree with, this guy I don't, blah, blah, blah. And here's the thing. It's never one side or the other. It's all about the people. Like, the people vote for the people who are going to be in charge. Right. So why not have the people that you agree with? I don't agree with a party. I don't agree with a left or a right. I don't agree with one aisle or the other aisle. It's the people.
I think that's going to be an interesting thing if that ever happens in the U.S., like, where we get away from political parties and have running mates or running people that are or politicians that are running basically or solely on their beliefs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can be very Republican led, but just because you're very conservative in a sense doesn't mean that you cannot say, like, hey, I'm a conservative in most areas, but I believe in abortion. You know what I mean? Like, I'm open to abortion. You know what I'm saying? Like, or if you're a Democrat, like, hey, what is it I'm trying to say? Oh, I'm super Democrat. Like, I tend to be Democrat, but I'm also against the government trying to take my guns away. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like either you have to be one thing or the other. It's kind of a really shitty thing.
My biggest question would be, why did we have to make two different parties in the first place? Now, chances are a historian would probably be like, oh, well, you, because of this and that, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, that's great. For somebody who isn't educated like that and somebody who thinks practically, that bullshit doesn't really matter. It's like, why did we have to have two opposing forces? Why did our country have to be divided always? Mm-hmm. There's always some sense of our country being divided because the fact that our fucking government system has different parties, has different groups. The one way our country is going to be united, if we're going to truly be the United fucking States of America, you have to get rid of the parties. Right. Everybody has to get to a point where we'll say, okay, this is good. This is bad. Yes. Right. Let's agree on that. But it's, again, the whole party system I've never understood. And I can't deal with it.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that one. Like, I don't understand why you have to be a certain political side to agree or disagree with something. You know what I mean? Like, why can't you agree on something on the total opposite side of the aisle? You know what I mean? Like, I know, like, there's a famous, she's a beautiful blonde girl. She's a super, like, conservative, like
I'm pretty Tammy sure. something or Tory yeah, something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I know she got into some trouble because she, she said something like she agreed with something about pro-abortion, I think. She was like, I can see how that's. Dude, I think that I could be wrong, but that's what happened. And then
I can't even start to talk about that chick. Oh my gosh, dude.
No, I don't like it at all. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, it was kind of funny that she got fired off of, you know, a very conservative news media because she said something that was anti-conservative, I guess. It's really weird.
If I remember the situation, how it happened, it wasn't because of a position.
Okay.
She had made an offhand comment about Mexicans. And it was more of like a personal Facebook live stream thing, but since she was affiliated with a big time network, they said, hey, you can't say shit like that. And then they canned her.
Well, I don't remember. I was thinking that was because of the pro-abortion thing, but
dude, I could be wrong. Fuck. There's I can't even talk about abortion right now.
Okay.
Okay. Let's keep it on race. Race is so much simpler than abortion.
I know, right? No, I did have something else to talk to you about, but I totally... No, did you ever watch the... Did you ever watch the... Or let me ask you this. How familiar are you with the movie Selena?
Selena. Who's in it?
Jennifer Lopez.
Well, give me a rundown because I'm drawing a blank.
So this Selena was a she was a Texan or she was a Mexican American. Mexican American singer. She was keep it. Come on, we're having a serious conversation.
Yeah. Yes.
So this movie is actually kind of portraying Selena the singer. Did you know the singer?
No.
Yeah, I didn't know her very well either, to be honest. But so let me just tell you what happened though, because I think it's very interesting. Because I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately for some odd reason. I'm just been getting into like some weird ass shit. Like I'm just like some very interesting people nowadays. I got two of those, okay, to talk about. One of them was a podcast about Selena. She was kind of like, how would I name her? Probably like a Aaliyah. Do you remember Aaliyah? The singer, Aaliyah? I barely remember her, too.
She died in a plane crash, didn't she?
Right.
Yeah.
So she was kind of like, so Selena was like a very up and coming like singer. Mm-hmm. She was big into like she had a lot of albums. I think not a lot of albums. She had really a lot of hits in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Even though she was Mexican American, she didn't even speak Spanish, to be honest. Like you could actually see her in the movie, where it's kind of weird because like for a long time she didn't speak Spanish until she's already singing.
Oh shit.
And then I know, and then she's like, and then her dad was in a group as well, and kind of said like, hey, you know what, like Mexico's a big country, let's try to take over that market,
right?
And she's like, yeah, but I don't even speak Spanish. And then like eventually he taught her how to speak Spanish and how to sing Spanish, and it like, bro, it like fucking blew up crazy stuff, you know what I mean? Like it was crazy. No,
I'm assuming that was a movie that was early for Jennifer Lopez, like super early in her career. I can recall the movie, but okay. I can't remember a single thing from it. But if I remember correctly, that was early in her career.
Yeah, I would say it was. Well, I would think it was kind of early because I think she passed away. She got killed in 1995, I believe. So the movie, I don't know when it came out. So, well, anyway, so this singer, she's blowing up, and she's actually kind of like, she's actually supposed to drop a CD that's a album that's actually gonna be in Spanish and in English. So there's two different things, right? So that was big because she was actually she was already hot in Spanish, but she was actually kind of going into the American artists and, you know, like the whole the music scene,
mm-hmm.
which is something hard to get into.
Right.
But she's about to drop that fucking album, that American version. And well, what happened was there was a lady named by the name of Yolanda, right? Now Yolanda was the president or manager, like she was like the big dog for her fan club.
Okay.
For her fan club, pretty much, you know. So what she did is, from the little that I remember, is that she would take care of, like, you know, there are fans that would buy like shirts and, you know, merchandise, blah, 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 send her money for this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have to send out all the merchandise and get all that shit, you know, sourced out and you know, this and that. Well, what ended up happening is that she was actually embezzling some money. So she was actually taking in some of these. Yeah, so she was actually taking in some of these dues from some of the fans, because I think they were almost like on a monthly subscription type of deal. Mm-hmm. And they weren't getting their shit. So, like, some of these fans were, like, fucking, like, constantly barraging, like, her dad about, like, hey, we paid this, but we didn't get shit for it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the dad actually kind of, like, told Selena, like, hey, you know, this is happening. And I guess there was a lot of evidence to where, like, hey, it's just happening. But Selena was a little bit hesitant about firing her because she wanted to make sure that, you know, this was actually a thing. You know, there was evidence because she didn't want to get sued. I guess they had hired her kind of like on a contract, so like they didn't want to fire her because she didn't want to get sued, pretty much.
Right. You know
what I mean? So, long story short.
Too late.
I know, right? Long story short, they go meet her, and she goes to meet her at a hotel or a motel, I think. And I guess she was going to fire her, blah, blah, and then she had a gun, and she killed Selena, right?
Whoa, spoilers!
I know. Well, bro, this is like a fucking movie from like the 1920s. No, it was crazy because, like, I was actually listening to this podcast. It was getting me, like, fucking heated, bro, because, like, there was a moment after she had killed Selena where she goes back to her car. And she's in the fucking car with a gun, right? Mm. And she's talking to a cop. What is it called? They're not cops. They're fucking negotiators.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was really weird because I thought to myself, I'm like, how professional do you have to be to talk somebody out of killing themselves, knowing that they just killed somebody? You know what I mean? Hmm. Isn't that weird?
That's crazy.
So she was actually in the car for several hours, like, trying to fucking, like, and this guy was trying to talk to her, like, throughout the whole time, like, saying, like, hey, this ain't worth it, blah, you know, trying to talk her out of it. Mm-hmm. And it comes to a point where, like, hey, he tells her, like, straight up, like, hey, you come, you know, this is winding down, like, my supervisor's telling me they gotta get off the phone because my shift is ending, and somebody else is gonna come on and talk to you, blah, blah. And it was really weird because, like, this happened throughout so many hours, and she's in there fucking crying, saying she wants to off herself, and so there's a shift change, and then the new guy is fucking trying to convince her, and he's like on her with for a few hours, and it's just crazy how this all went down. And long story longer, finally they convince her to, you know, not kill herself. And I thought to myself, like, damn, that's crazy, man. I'd be like, you know what, you should probably just kill yourself. Just kill yourself. Fuck. Oh my God. But I know. But then she ended up getting life without parole or something like that. Now my thing is, like, so she was doing an interview with a TV like a network or whatever, and it's kind of funny how, like, you know, one of the beautiful things about podcasting, if you're talking to, like, if you're listening to a podcast and you're almost like almost shouting at them, like, why the fuck are you, you know what I'm saying, like, then that's a good podcast,
right?
You know what I mean? If you start talking, like, to the podcast, even though they're not, you know, you can't listen or they can't hear you,
right?
So one of the things that she was saying is, like, if the interviewer was asking her, like, what she would have done differently, blah, blah, mm-hmm. you know, she said, well, maybe if I would have talked to her a little bit more, kind of left her alone, this wouldn't have happened, blah, blah. And, like, and I was just like, no, it wouldn't have happened if he wouldn't have fucking pulled the trigger and killed her. It was crazy, man.
Oh, shit.
But, yeah.
All right. I think that's going to be it for us tonight, Ricardo.
Well, I'm sorry that I couldn't portray this better Selena story to you, but we're under some time constraints, so, you know.
Well, you took us on an adventure. So it was, So next week we're actually going to be talking with my wife Amber, who actually has a book coming out soon. So that will be exciting. Don't forget that if you go to sandhillcoffee.com and use promo code WarehouseRats, all one word, you will get 20% off your total order. So it's really good coffee. I actually just had a new new order of coffee come in day before yesterday. Really good stuff. Really enjoy it. So be sure to check them out. Again, sandhillcoffee.com, promo code WarehouseRats. You can find more stuff about us at Facebook, or on the Facebook, and on the Instagram at Warehouse Rats. And we're also on Anchor for those who are looking for us. And we're also on a whole bunch of other
podcasts. Yeah, just look us up, man.
Yeah, we're around.
And remember, if you're Irish, because that's our people now, we're part Irish.
Right.
Well, we want to hear from you guys. We really want to not just from the Irish, obviously, but hit us up on Facebook or Instagram and let us know if we have anything, any suggestions, any drink suggestions, or any type of topic that you guys want us to kind of dive into a little bit. And if we don't know about the topic, we'll fake it until we make it. that's what we do.
That's how I live my life by. All right, folks, that is it for us tonight. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Peace.